Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
No worries at all. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory, praise, and honor. Thank you, Lord, for bringing these brothers and sisters to lead us in worship, Father. Lord, I pray for every person that's here and every person that might be watching now or later, Father, that they learn to enter in behind the veil. Lord, that you teach each and every one of your children how to come in. You said to come in by a new and living way. You said to come in boldly before the throne. Jesus died to tear the doorway open forever, eternally, for us that we might enter in. But we need to learn how. Hallelujah. We need to learn how in our life. So, Father, I thank you and I ask you to teach your children. We know how to live in the earth pretty well. We're raised doing that. But, Father, I ask you to teach us, each one of us in the body, to learn how to come to the Holy of Holies without fear, knowing that you love us just as we are, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it. I give you all the glory. So the Lord is doing something in the body of Christ. He's doing a new thing. I keep hearing in the Spirit for the last few months, I keep hearing new thing, new day, new doorway, new frontier. And you know what? I've learned there's always war at the door, okay? When you're trying to go through into the next level that the Lord has for you, there's always warfare because the devil does not want you going through there. So when you encounter warfare, a lot of times there's a reason, and it's because there's a breakthrough at hand. And it's not just don't think of breakthrough as just, oh, I'm getting my way now in earthly things. That is so minor compared to what God is doing. Your purpose on earth is not just to be blessed by God, although he wants you blessed, okay? Now, that's not wrong to be blessed. It's not wrong to get your prayers answered. It's not wrong to have your needs met. That God wants all that. But all that, when we get to heaven, it's going to be such a faded memory. It's not going to matter to you all that much about a lot of the stuff we pray so intensely about. A lot of it isn't going to be on the radar. There's going to be a lot of stuff that is on the radar that we're going to say, oh, I wish I would have thought to pray about that. You know, if God could give us an eternal mindset where we're really living for how it'll be then, it would change the way we perceive everything, wouldn't it? What if you could have a preview of that moment before the throne? Ah, scary, huh? Right where you review your life with God. Now, I don't think any of us really knows what that will be like, but one man said he had a vision, and he said it was like a lifetime. It was like you lived your whole life over before the Lord. Ooh, no. And so what if we began to be eternal? I mean, I'm not doing that to scare you or to condemn you, but what if God could give us a mindset of heaven where that's the priority? Oh, listen, all this other stuff would fall into place much more quickly. We are so carnally minded that we think, let me just define carnal. Carnal does not mean dirty or sexual. It means of the senses. We are living life on the earth carnally, meaning by what you see with your eyes, what you hear with your natural ears. Okay? So we're going through life going, well, I need, you know, if I had this, I'd be happy. Lord, if you'd fix this, then I'd be happy. If you'd deal with that, then it would all be good. You know, fix this. And that's how we live life. And you know what? None of that's going to matter in heaven. You were put here for a purpose and a reason. You were designed. This is an amazing thing to me. You are an immortal being. I believe most and probably all the people in this room are born again. I hope you are. If you're not, come and talk to me at the end. Hallelujah. But if you are born again, you were given a brand new house on the inside, a brand new vessel. It's recreated in the very image of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? A lot of you don't know very much about your born-again spirit. You know, I didn't know for years. I was born again for years, filled with the Spirit for years, before I even began to have a glimpse of what our born-again spirit is really like. Your born-again spirit, you know what the Bible says about you? Not your outer you, okay, with all your faults. Not talking about that. Not talking about your soulish realm where you make all your mistakes. Not talking about that. But on the inside, what does it say? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Okay, your born-again spirit, it says, to put on the new self. That's the born-again spirit, is your new self. It says, which was created after the image of his holiness. So there is holiness on the inside of you once you're born again. And the problem is we've lived the Christian life so much in our flesh, meaning our outer man, how we feel about things. You know what? Some of you need to tell your emotions to shut up and sit down. Emotions, your emotions will run you if you let them. They'll run your life. You know, when I was in my 20s, I was emotionally ruled as a Christian. And my life was a complete failure. Because, you know, how are you doing today? Well, I'm this way. Well, I'm that way. Well, up, down, up, down. It is a terrible way to do life. Absolutely wretched. And I had a friend. He was an assistant pastor. And he had as many problems that I had a lot of problems, but he did too. He had some pretty bad ones. And I watched him. We worked together in the music ministry for years. And he was just like this. And he wasn't faking it. That's really how he was. And I remember thinking, I am doing this wrong. Something is wrong with the way I'm doing this. And I went home, and I'll never forget this. It was February of 1989. It was a landmark moment. Did you ever have a landmark moment with God?
Yes.
And I said to the Lord, I can't stand the way I am. I said, I need you to change me. I don't care what it takes. I need to be so different that I won't remember what it was like to be me before. I want it to be like being born again, again. And God began to change my life. And was it easy? No. Because when you ask God to change you, he doesn't push a button and just go, poof, you're changed. Because all change, this is, we might say unfortunate, I will say difficult, all change requires our input, choice, and decisions. God will never make you, because God has sovereignly decided to make you in some ways a sovereign entity, meaning he gives you free choice, a free will, and he will never violate your will. So our will and our choices are required for every victory, every failure, every sin. Satan can't make you sin. He can tempt you. He can put it in front of you. That's why it's important to change your mind, transform your mind, and I'm just going to say your soul. So some of you heard me many times, you've heard me talk about this, but I just want to tell you the difference that in the Word of God it says that there's a difference between your soul and your spirit, okay? If you look in Hebrews, it talks about that the Word of God is alive and powerful, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. What does that mean? The Bible says in the Old Covenant, it says that the Lord doesn't want people to prophesy out of their own soul. In fact, in the Old Testament, they got stoned for doing that. What was he saying? He was saying your soul, basically, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions. You know that some people try to prophesy out of their emotions? That's not true prophecy. True prophecy is when God speaks, and you speak exactly what he said, and you don't add to it, and you don't take away from it. You don't put it through your doctrinal filter. Come on. I didn't know we were going here, but here we are. God might, often a prophecy comes from one sentence, one phrase, or one word. I had a guy stand in front of me one time and God said, building. I'm thinking, and? Comma? You understand? I'll give you a better example. I was in church one day and I was normally on the altar team, but this particular day I was standing in the back and there was a mob of people in front. I mean, lots of people all up there getting prayer. And this one girl was just lighted up and I knew that I was supposed to go pray for this girl. And I heard the word cancer, and I heard the word drugs. Now, if you were to prophesy out of your soul, you might go up and say, if you repent of doing drugs, God will heal you from cancer. But see, we don't know what he was saying. He didn't say, he didn't give me all the in-between words, and he often doesn't. So I have to be very careful. So do you. You have to be very careful not to add your stuff. Some people might go up and if someone's got, you know, if they think they're an Old Testament prophet, they might go up and say, surely the Lord would say to you, repent in the name of Jesus. Right? But that, what if that's not God, what God is saying? So I went up to her and I said, sweetie, I was standing in the back and God kind of drew my attention to you. Is there something going on in your life about cancer? She goes, my grandma has cancer. And I go, well, let's pray for your grandma. So we pray for that. And I go, is there something about drugs? She goes, my brother is addicted to drugs. Let's pray about it. See, I would have messed it up if I'd have pushed it through any of my understanding, right? What does it say? Lean not to your own understanding. So your soul is where the trouble is. Hallelujah. Your soul, your mind and your will and your emotions, until you get your soul cleansed, is you're going to handle life badly. I did. It's just a fact. We have to be transformed with the renewing of our mind. Because we have to come to a place where our automatic decision is to do right and say right. Now, we're not perfect. We're not a perfect people. But over the years, we should get better and better and better at having an automated response, right? And you can actually create an environment in your home, right? Unless you just, you know, sometimes I know it's hard because of who someone lives with, okay? And sometimes you can't control everything about that. But by and large, you can control your environment to create a habitat of holiness. You can create a habitat, an environment, by what you let come into your eyes and what you let come into your ears, right? I have a friend who used to say, if you don't want to get caught in a compromising position, stay out of the back seat. Come on. So, in other words, just because somebody's cute, you don't date them because, you know, this dear brother called me, and, you know, he was a little backslid, a little bit backslid. Talking about this woman he works with, well, we're just friends. It's like, do you really think I was born yesterday? I'm old. I know how this works. And the Lord made me say, sweetie, I'm going to say something to you. It sounds a little harsh. You're backslid. I'm thinking, I can't believe you made me say that. He's like, yeah, you're right. I said, see, because, yes, you're friends, but I know how this works. There's an attraction there. Well, yeah, there is. Okay? Now, you can stop it right now, or you can take it to its conclusion where you're screaming, grace, grace, mercy, mercy, help me, don't help me not to sin. Or wouldn't it be easier to just nip it in the bud? Y'all remember Barney Fife? Nip it in the bud. So God is trying to help us to convert our soul, so to speak. Right? Because it says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Your soul is like for some people, it's like a mess through which the blessings have to pass. Okay? Jesus has already died for the blessings to be ours. That's a done deal. He's already released from heaven from the day of his ascension. At the ascension, when he put the blood on the cross, there was released for all eternity every blessing every human will ever need. Will everybody receive it? Nope. Will everybody be born again? Nope. Did he die? Yes, he died for the sins of the whole world. The whole world. Every human that will ever live. Will everybody receive it? No. So what's that? A choice. There's a choice. For some people, they've made the choice to get born again, but will they go step forward in the Holy Ghost? My one sister, she liked being born again and she loved Jesus, but she wasn't so sure about that Holy Ghost. She went, oh, that's kind of weird. I love the Holy Spirit, and to me it's like, oh, you know, that grieves me. Because the Holy Ghost, I mean, he is Jesus in spirit form. He is the very breath of God. He is. Jesus breathed and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And my sister was like, hey, we're fine like that. So I said, well, how about this? She had this cat. You know how some people are about their cat. She had this cat. She loved her cat. And I said, if a man fell in love with you and you fell in love with him, and he said, I want to marry you, and he said, yes, and he said, but the only thing is you got to get rid of Puff. What would you say? She said, I'd tell him to take a flying leap. He said, that's how God is about that Holy Ghost. Oh, she said, I didn't know it was like that. She got the Holy Ghost. So what we're trying to do here as we walk through life, if you don't know that this is what life is really about, you're going to go through life trying to make it happy, right? You're going to try to get your bills paid, live in the right house, have the right relationship. You're going to think it's all about that. And you're going to think that God's purpose in life is to make you happy. It's not. Now, he will bless you, and he will make you more happy than you could imagine. But, you know, we have treated God like someone who, you know, and I'll be honest, most of us got saved because we were a mess and we needed help. But we began to look at God like he should just help us all the time. Well, he already did. He died and released the blessings. They are continually flowing from heaven. The Bible spells out every one of them in promise form. How do I know what's mine? Look it up. Look it up. He spelled it out. Promise, promise, promise. Old Testament and New. Promise, 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 promise. Whether you are able to receive it or not depends on your mind, your will, and your emotions. Okay? So if you have filters, like let's say you grew up badly. Some people grew up where they were just beat up all the time, either physically or emotionally, spiritually, verbally. It happens. It's very, very common. And what happens is you have wounds, right, if that's you. And we've all got some, but some people have just been beat the tar out of. I know that's not good English, but some people have just been beaten so badly that it's hard to face life or deal with reality because everything hurts so much, right? God has huge compassion on this. He cares very deeply about it. And sometimes it's like he's like someone's trying to take the thorn out, but anytime someone comes near, you know, we go off because the thorn is poking us so badly. But God's desire is that your soul prosper and be in health so that you can receive, right? So that you can prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. So think your soul is like this giant filter through which everything has to come, right? And if it can't come through, you'll be like, why isn't God blessing me? God is not the problem. We are. See, when I didn't know this, I used to actually, I'm ashamed to say this, but I actually used to blame God. Like, what's your deal? You love me. I know you love me. My whole life is dedicated to you. I'm praying up a storm. I'm in church, you know, every time the doors are open. What gives? What's the deal? Totally in my flesh. Totally wrong about the whole thing. But I did not understand because I think I had to be corrected in my understanding of heaven and earth. God began to deal with me. I've already released everything you need, Holly. And the problem isn't me, Holly. And he began to deal with me that I didn't really know him as well as I thought. Nor did I understand the cross. If you still think that God is mad at you and is withholding things from you, you have not understood the cross or the blood. Jesus Christ died to release every single thing any human will ever need. It's already been done. The issue is we have to learn how to receive. I was preaching over in Bristol one time, and God had me say by the Spirit, this was a prophecy, had me say it prophetically, a lot of my people are good givers. They know how to give, but they don't know how to receive. So for me, life has been much more fun since I figured out that I'm the problem. I'm the problem. I'm my own worst enemy, right? If I can come to understand that my spirit man, your spirit man, is an immortal being. What I mean by that is on the day that your body passes away, right? On that day, however it happens, your body will drop to the ground. Your spirit man, just as it is, will go and be right before the throne of God. That's who you really are. Your spirit man, your born-again spirit, that is the real you. And that is the you. And the problem is we've been looking at this outer man and wondering, you know, so if you're looking at yourself, there's someone in here you've struggled with thoughts of failure because your flesh has failed. You know what? That's what flesh does. I have an announcement for you. That's what our flesh does. Paul knew it. He said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. That's right. In my flesh dwells no good thing. And if we think, you know what happens to Christians who don't understand truth? They get religious and think that their flesh is supposed to be good enough. And that's disastrous for one of two reasons. If they get it right, then they have pride in themselves because they got it right. If they fail, then they have condemnation and guilt and think God is mad at them. They have not understood the cross nor their born-again spirit. Are you with me? Because what happened is Jesus, he didn't just forgive your sins, he recreated you. Come on, you are a new person. You're to reckon the old man dead. Your old man is screaming, but what about this? Shut up, old man. Shut up. He who knew no sin became sin. How is that possible? What did that look like? Come on. Many people, including me, believe, in accordance with Isaiah 53, that every sickness and disease went on his mortal body. He was unrecognizable even as a human, according to the scriptures. And he did that to take on sin, sickness, disease for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness. If you're born again, say this, I have become the righteousness of God. Did you hear what you just said? You have become it. And you might look down and go, well, I don't feel righteous. I don't always act righteous. I feel like a bum. Well, yeah, you're in your flesh, you're a bum, and so am I. That's why he had to die. But inside of you, there lives an immortal spirit, according to the Word of God. You have this treasure in earthen vessels. So to me, the problem has been that we, as the church, global church, we've tried to do Christianity in the flesh. We fail at it miserably. We feel bad. We beat ourselves up, or we do good, and we have pride that day. P.U. When in fact, none of that, listen, he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Yeah. So if you prophesy to somebody in your flesh, we have to go around and do cleanup. Really. Because even if it's a fine-sounding prophecy, we used to have a hallelujah, a beloved brother who wanted to be seen as spiritual. I'm not being mean, I'm just telling you the truth. Wanted to be seen as spiritual and would prophesy these flattering, glowing words that were never measurable. No one could ever really measure it. So, you know, you can flatter somebody. And if somebody's needy, they're like, for years, this poor other brother would go around for years saying, I got this prophecy that I'm called to the nations. I'm thinking, well, amen. Like, who isn't? Come on. You know, not to quote Andrew Womack, but he said, people come up, and if you say to them prophetically, God just says he loves you, they're like, oh, God loves me. Well, the Word said that all its time. Well, wait, you'd rather hear from a person? Come on now. Come on, we have choices to make. We have some choices, and the first choice is we need to choose to believe that the Word of God really is infallible. It really was written by the hand of God. It is true and will be true for all eternity. It is the measure of all things. And some of us will come to a place in our life, I'm telling you now, and you'll remember this if you need to, but there are people who will come to the very throes of death, and your life will depend on if you choose to believe what it says or not. And I never forget the day. You know, when you have an issue with God, it's because you haven't really believed him. And I only know this because I'm guilty. I learned all this looking in the mirror, so I have no fingers to point at anybody. But I remember when I was going through a hard time and God said to me, do you believe I am who I say I am or not? And I said it nicer than that. Whenever God asks you a question, don't answer real fast. He's asking because you don't really know. He's asking because he wants to help you see some truth. So, you know, sir, I guess not, you know. So when he asked me that, I thought, uh-oh. And, you know, our flesh wants to go, well, of course I do. Of course I believe. Hallelujah. How are you? Blessed and highly favored. Rudy, toot, toot. I've got my confession. But the fact is, when he said that to me, I started thinking, you know, I didn't answer real fast. I thought about it, and I thought, I think he's confronting me with some truth here. Because the fact is, it says I'm healed, but I sure don't feel healed. The fact is, he promised to take care of me provisionally, and it sure isn't looking like that. I mean, I had disasters in my life. It looked like in every area that God didn't care. Come on. I said it looked like he didn't care. It looked like he'd gone off to Mars to be with those guys. Kidding, I'm kidding. No, we don't believe in Martians. It looked like he didn't care about my life. Come on, have you ever felt like this? Oh, not me, huh? Have you ever felt like, God, what is your deal? I'm doing everything you told me to do. What gives? Have you ever felt like that? Yeah. And his answer is, do you believe I am who I say I am or not? Yeah. And at the end of that day, I had to conclude, you know what? I love you, Lord, but I guess I don't. I guess the fact is I say I believe, but really, I don't. And I was going to a faith. And I knew how to do the stuff. I knew how to make the confession, put on the mask. I knew how to do all that stuff. But deep down, listen, what you believe isn't what you say you believe or your pretty face or the mask. It's what you believe down here. And I knew that I had some choices to make or life was never going to get any better. I knew he was saying, you want this thing to work? I know many of you have heard this, but he said, I have a system. I lay down on my word. I'm not changing it for you. Said it to me. Not all that politely. What he was saying is, you can whine, you can cry, you can yell, you can ask for sympathy. See, I thought he should operate on the sympathy principle, because my life was horrible, and he loved me, and he should fix it. That's not the system. And we could still be here now 30 years later, 35 years later, and would be, except he confronted me, thank God, and made me see, this is about your choices. This isn't about my problem from the throne, toots. He didn't say that. Okay, don't put words in his mouth. But basically, he was confronting me to say, Holly, you're your own worst enemy. You want me to come and fix it. I've put a system in the Word. It's called faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You want to work my system, or do you want another 8 years of this? And I will never forget, I was at work when he said it to me, and I made a decision way down in here. You know what they call a life decision. It was a quality decision, and it turned my whole life around. And I made the decision, I don't care what it looks like in the earth. I don't care what my body says. I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what people say. I don't care what the weather looks like. If you say it's ABC, it is. And I'm going to choose not just to say it, not just to say I believe it. I'm going to choose way down in here to believe it because you said it. I'm going to walk like it. I'm going to act like it, and I'm going to talk like it. And I watched. It did not happen overnight, but I watched my whole life turn around. I watched it. See, I was my own worst enemy, because who has the power? Who rules and reigns in the earth? You do. He's called you kings and priests for a reason. I have one friend that said, well, that's when we get to heaven. No, he won't need you. He won't need you to be doing that in heaven. You need to do it here. Do you know that he gave Adam? Adam was the intended prince of this world. You understand that? Come on, come on now. You wouldn't build a nursery and put your favorite, most cherished son, your only son, in there, and then go get a big bully who's cruel and mean and put him in there and say, this guy's the prince over you. Would you do that? You wouldn't do that for your kid. Why would we think God would do that? It's not his nature. One man said it this way. If your neighbor wanted to teach his son a lesson, to do it, he broke his legs or ran over him with a car, you'd call the police. Oh, but we blame God. And we say, oh, God did this to teach me a lesson. Come on. So we're better than our neighbors, better than God? Come on, that's what we're doing. We have, because we are in a fall, you know, we are mind, not the mind of Christ that you have, but your carnal mind, if you don't get it renewed, you're going to begin to think that God is at fault for some of the stuff that happens. Why did God let that child die? I'm not sure that was God. I think it might have been us. We'll say, well, then the responsibilities are, yep. That's a tough message, isn't it? But there's times when I know I haven't stood up like I needed to in faith. Faith used to be my worst subject, my worst. But once I got this, I began to realize God has put us in the earth to steward it. When God spoke to Adam in Genesis, he said, he told him, fill the earth and subdue it, right? Do a word study. That means to subjugate or force it under your dominion. Force it. Make it. It is the same word in Joshua, where Joshua was told to subdue the armies, the enemy armies. Bring them under your dominion. Make them. Force them. We were put here to rule and reign over the enemy. And some of us let the enemy rule and reign over us and then cry to God, come and fix it, come and bail me out. Won't you bind the enemy? Won't you take care of this, God? No, you deal with it, right? So this sounds a little tough, but if you get it, I'm telling you, life will be so much easier. Because the first thing you're going to realize is God actually is on your side. God died to release to you everything you will ever need. God has already paid for it. It's continually flowing from heaven. How do I know what it is? By the promise. How do you invoke it in the earth? Through faith and speaking. So you take a promise and you say, you know what? Nothing in my life looks like that's true. Right? Some of you, let's take a promise as simple as you're accepted in the Beloved. You know, there's Christians that go their whole life and don't believe they're really accepted by God. And I might say to them, but you're washed in the blood. Yeah, but what's happened? Their soul, their emotions have ruled them and told them a lie. There's a lie rooted, come on, in their soul. And that lie is ruling them, telling them that God doesn't love them and people don't love them. And listen, when there's a lie in your soul, the enemy just comes along and hooks to it. Come on. Have you ever dealt with rejection? Have you ever felt rejected by God? I used to have a spirit of failure. It followed me everywhere, like this big sign over my head, failure, which was so ridiculous because pretty much everything I did was a success, financially and otherwise. Yet there was a spirit hounding me day and night. You're a flop. You're a failure. You stink. Everything's wrong. It was a spirit. How does that thing have legal access? Because I was believing lies in my soul. What's your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. We have to take, it's time to do the laundry. We have to do some soul cleansing. You know how you do soul cleansing? We repent of believing anything that doesn't line up with the Word of God. What does the Word say? Taking captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. What? Any kind of thought that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. Have you ever had a thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I eat worms all day. I'm just Eeyore. I'm a bum. I'll always be a bum. God doesn't love me. He's always been mad. Come on. Do you see how that's a lie rooted in your soul? It's clearly not what God said. God practically blew trumpets over you. Angels danced in heaven over you getting saved. Come on. You know it's the Word. And yet we choose to believe garbage, eat garbage spiritually, live in garbage. Come on. Some of you are going to get free. I know I'm being a little mean, but I'm trying to shake ya, trying to shake the junk out. Because if you begin to refuse the lie, some of you need to get a temper, a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost temper. Say, I'm not putting up with this anymore. I remember the day when I said, you know what? I am not putting up with this anymore. I'm not going to believe this anymore. I'm not taking this lie anymore. God said this about me. Get over yourself, Satan. Because see, what Satan would say is, yeah, but you're such a jerk. Yeah, you know what? You're right. You're right. I don't always get it right. You're right. I don't always think right. I don't always say the right thing. But you know what? God loves me. Get over yourself, Buster. God said he loves me, and he recreated me, and I'm going somewhere to heaven. Not my stinky flesh, not my stinky soulish realm, not my emotions, which no longer rule me. You know, my emotions get zero input. Zero. You know what? I was delivered from that thing. Because I began to resist. What does it say? Resist the devil. He will flee from you. I began to tell. See, my emotions ruled me. Oh, God doesn't love me. Oh, God hasn't come through for me. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I was doing? I was insulting the throne of grace. Effectively, I was calling God a liar. Come on. Not looking at anybody. Effectively, by my behavior and my little temper tantrums, I was effectively saying, you're not good. And my measurement was how my life is going. Really, Holly? Come on, we've done it. Have we done that? We need to, I have a friend, he's a preacher, and he said, some people are like practical atheists. They say they love God, they say they're servants of God, but they live like they're atheists. I was living like an unbeliever. You know why people didn't enter the promised land? Because of their unbelief. You would think it would be the golden calf, wouldn't you? The golden calf was a bad thing, very bad, but they didn't enter. So we see, the Bible says, they didn't enter because of unbelief. And it says that we who are living now, we need to take heed that we don't live that way. Because we have all the more reason to believe than they did. We know more than they did. We have more than they did. It says the prophets of old longed to look into what we have. They didn't have a recreated spirit. We do. You know that your spirit man is the house of the Holy Ghost? Do you understand that you are the house of the living God? Now, some of us have it so packed in under our carnal flesh, in our stinky, stinky soul, then nobody gets to see the actual glory of God. Okay? But you can change that. You can determine, I'm not going to live by the flesh anymore. I'm not going to live by the soul anymore. I'm not going to let my decisions, my carnal decisions, rule me anymore. I am going to live by the Spirit. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to trust that my born-again spirit is holy, has been forgiven. I'm going to believe what God has said about me. And I'm going to believe not only that, but that I can actually be a funnel for God. Something through which God can speak, though I'm not worthy. See, Satan could come to me at any time and say, well, you're not worthy. Well, you're right. You're right. But I've been made worthy by one who has greater authority than you. And he said, I am. So if you have an issue, go talk to him. Guess what? You won't win. He's on my side. And oh, if you don't believe it, here it is right here. Because it is written. Some of you need to learn how to say, it is written, it is written, it is written. Some of you have been double-tongued, and I'm not pointing any fingers, but double-tongued used to be, actually, I think I was leaning towards more the negative. You know, I thought I was pretty strong when the trial started. You know, I thought I was doing pretty good because I was walking in the gifts, you know. Don't ever think that because you're walking in some gifts that makes you spiritual. No. I know stinkers that move in the gifts. True. That doesn't mean you're spiritual. Spiritual is when you're steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not moved by your emotions. You can get, and I don't mean masking or stuffing your emotions or pretending it didn't happen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting so healed in the Spirit of God, so healed in who you are, that you so know that God is with you and you're in Him. It doesn't matter what happens, because you know that. And when you know that, nobody can take you out. No matter what they say, it doesn't matter, because you know who you are. They couldn't take Jesus out because He knew. He knew who He was. He knew who He was, and He knew why He was here. Do you? Once you figure out who you really are and why you're here on earth, everything gets easier. See, because what happens when we're living out of our emotions, there's people in here, you've been so wounded that you're very, very needy. Not condemning you. I came from that background. But you're living by a wound, okay? And when you live by a wound, Satan continually, he doesn't even have to do anything to get you to go sin. He doesn't need it. He doesn't go search for new ways to torment. He doesn't care. If he can keep you in your current state by just rubbing salt in your wound, he'll do it forever. And laugh. He's got you because you're living out of a wound. But the Spirit of God can heal that soul whole that it's almost like it happened to somebody else. You have to like think, did that really happen to me? Like it's so healed. You understand? You can be so healed because the problem is your identity is in who you were. Come on. Some of you still see yourself as you were. Not as you are in the Spirit. He made you new. And by the way, your identity in the Spirit, it is not only eternal, it is not only immortal, it not only looks like Jesus, it not only houses His compassion, His love, all the fruits, all the gifts. What does it say? What does it say? The same Spirit that raised Him from the dead lives in you. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You know what? We say that to Christians and they go, oh, that's nice. That means I'm not supposed to drink Coca-Cola. No. Back in the day when that was written, every Jewish person that was a practicing Jew, that had to be almost like on the very edge of, is that blasphemy? Because they understood that the temple of God was the very house of God Himself. And when He showed up, there was earthquakes, wasn't there? People fell down. What's really living on the inside of you? Who is really living on the inside of you? And what do you need to do to tear down the outside structure and let Him come forth? What would it be like if we could see God in you instead of your flesh? Come on. Some of you have mighty callings, but you're so busy dealing with your wounds, you're not tending to your calling. God loves you. He loves you so much. But we've been paying so much attention to what's going on in the earth and how things are going for me and my need, blah, 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 blah. God loves you. He'll take care of that stuff. But what's really going on? Why were you born? You're no mistake. There's no accidents. There is no accidents. No such thing. You were designed by God. And the fact that you got born again, the fact that you're sitting here tells me that there's a stamp of God on your life for a reason. Why don't we find out? Why don't we unwrap the package? Why don't we unwrap all the soulish stuff, all the emotional hoo-ha, all the lies we have believed? And I'm telling you, nobody can do this for you. I can preach it until you're sick of hearing me. But at some point, probably in a dark night, you will make a decision. I am going to believe what God has said, period. I am going to refuse what the enemy is telling me about who I am, about whose I am, about what my habits are, what the enemy thinks of me, what everybody else thinks of me. Who cares what everybody else thinks? We have to get free from what people think. That is a foul spirit, by the way. The Pharisees stank with it. They cared more about what people thought than about what God thought. It was one of Jesus' chief complaints about them. He said, "You seek the honor that comes from man. How can you? How can you serve God? How can you believe the word? You care what people think." He didn't care what anybody thought. See, it does make you a little rough not to care what people think, but I'm going to tell you something, you get things done around here. Because if you're so busy trying to seek somebody's approval, you'll spend your whole life with it and you'd never get their approval. And you'll go around, "Oh, my pastor doesn't think much of me." So what? He bright, you know? So what? Come on. You weren't put here to be a man pleaser. You were put here because you were created by God to do a thing. Not more than just do a thing, but to be a thing. To live with him and in him. In him we live and move and have our being. The more you live in him, the more that you seek his throne, the more you spend time in his presence, the more the layers of junk are peeled away. Okay? God loves you. He loves you. There is nothing you can do. God isn't going to, listen, if you live perfect, he won't love you any more than he loves you right now. If you live horrible, he won't love you any less than he loves you right now. He loves you with an eternal love. Now, does he want you to sin? No. The reason God tells you to live a holy life and not to sin is because it will hurt you. It'll ruin you. Because when you live by the flesh, destruction comes. When you open the door to the devil, destruction comes. That's all he has. What kingdom you walk in, that's what you get. So if you go, God doesn't want you walking in the enemy's kingdom because he doesn't want you receiving the enemy's goods, which is destruction, sickness, failure, disease. God doesn't want that for you. He said, "Behold, I set before you life and death, blessings and cursings." Choose life. Come over here where all the blessings flow freely. Already died for them. Already paid for them. They're continually flowing. Come over here, because the closer you walk to God, it's not like you're waiting for God to do something. Blow that out of your mind. God's already done it. The issue is, where are we walking? People say, "Well, you must have favor." Well, yeah, I do, but it's not because of who I am or what I've done. It's because of where I'm standing. It's positional. Where do you want to stand? If you're standing in the lies the enemy has told you, you're going to get clobbered every day. Sooner or later, you're going to go, "I'm sick of standing here. I'm not going to stand here anymore." Come on. For me, I'm sorry to say, I must have had a rock head, because it took me way too long to get it. Way too long. If I'd have gotten it sooner, I'm absolutely sure I'd have walked out of my trial sooner. If I would have refused the correction of the Lord, I'm pretty sure I'd still be in it. Come on, because what happens when you're down in the dumps and feeling sorry for yourself or you're believing all the lies? You're speaking things that are releasing yet more, because you are a ruler in the earth. Come on. That's why Satan tries to get you to trash talk. He tries to get you to say the problem, whine about the problem, call the prayer line and whine and get sympathy, because maybe if they pray, maybe God will do something. Maybe he loves them, or he'll just get 50 people to pray. That'll fix it. God already wants to do it. God is saying, move. Move over here. Really. And don't think I'm just talking about overt sin. Some of you are going, well, I gave all that stuff up. I don't do that anymore. You know what? After I got fully delivered, I'm talking about really delivered from all that stuff, God spoke to me. He said, you need to clean up your mind. I'm saying, what are you talking about? I got rid of all that stuff. He goes, no, you are negative. He wasn't talking about that stuff. I had long been delivered of that. He said, you are negative. He said, you don't really believe me. Come on. And if you're negative, listen, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Life and death, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. So it doesn't do any good to go with your faith mask and then trash talk, because you are ruling and you're releasing. God's trying to raise us up to a level where we really are walking more like Jesus in the earth. You were destined to carry the presence. That was you were created to carry the presence. It will take a different form through your calling than through your calling than through your calling. I have a friend that's an evangelist, and when the power comes on that friend, God shows up in evangelism. Souls just, you know, different through me. But because what? You're a facet. You're like a facet of his personality. But I would love to see who you really are. Come on. I'd love to see who you really are by the power of the Spirit. And my hope is that I'll see it in this earth. Because I don't want to be in heaven bemoaning, oh, if I would have just known. And I truly believe, I mean, I love the body of Christ, but I really believe that we're walking so far below the things that God has for us. I don't think we've begun to see what God would do if we'd stop living by the flesh and the soul. That it takes some decisions, and nobody can make them for you. There are some things you will do alone. There's times when I want to help people, and God says, do not pick up the phone. You know why? Whenever you go through the crucifixion process, if you've ever heard me talk about the death process, a lot of times there is a process where we die to our deal that God might live. Okay? And that means we choose to put God first before whatever that is, right? And if you're really sold out to God, you may have said something like, I want to carry your presence. I will die on any cross. I said that once. I meant that. He will take you up on that. And when he does it, it's much more painful than you think it was going to be. And you want to die and scream and react, you know. And it goes on a long time. It's not an overnight process, I'm sorry to tell you. And not everybody has said that, so don't get scared. If that wasn't you, hallelujah. But one thing I discovered is that there is a season in that process where you are alone. And nobody can help you, and that's by God's design, because he is asking you to choose. He will give you choices, and he will wait. He loves you. He'll wait patiently. He waited for me way more years. I'm sorry for how long. I'm embarrassed and so sorry that I wasted those years. And I'm thankful that God finally confronted me, smacked me upside the head, corrected me, because I'd still be in it. So if this seems a little tough, it's because I love you and because God loves you, because he doesn't want you to waste all those years. But at some point, when you're alone and it looks like there is no hope and God isn't good and nothing's working out, and why am I not healed or blessed or whatever the deal is, God promised me this, there it isn't, you know. You ever had that? God promised me a business, there it isn't. God promised me a ministry, and there it isn't. Come on, I was years there. Years, we're talking about years. And most of you have been too. And so what happens? Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren, begins to accuse God to you. See, God doesn't really care. That's how he talks. If he really cared, he'd do this for you. No, he wouldn't. He loves you enough not to change your Pampers. He loves you enough to get in your face and say, I love you, change. I love you, make a choice. I love you, choose to believe my word. Choose to die to your idols. Choose to crucify those things that are killing your life. Choose to crucify your flesh, your opinions, that controlling spirit. Oh, man, we're going there. Choose to crucify the fact that you have to be in charge all the time. It doesn't work that way. Is he Lord or are you? Oh, this is tough preaching. But you know what? God is Lord. He's not going to share the throne until you've wholly submitted. When you wholly submit, the greater your authority is. The more submitted you are, I said, the greater your authority is. Because you can command and you know it's done. Because you know it's not you, it's him. What did Paul say? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. People say that, but they haven't done what Paul did. Paul crucified his flesh over and over and over because he wanted Jesus Christ to live through him. He wanted Jesus glorified and didn't care what it cost. Can we have that heart? Because when we have that heart, Jesus begins to glorify himself through our mortal body. And we don't know how it happened because we know we weren't worthy. Jesus begins to show up in his presence. People begin to be touched, set free. It's like, hallelujah. But what happened? You changed your life. You traded your life for his. Your dreams for his. Your ministry for his. Come on. Do you really want your ministry or do you really want his? I want his. I don't give a hang about mine. There is no mine. And we have tried to do Christianity in a very selfish way. It's all about me. Remember that song they sang a few years ago? It's all about me, Jesus, and all this is for me. Oh, no, wait, those aren't the words. But that's how people are. Oh, God, pander to my needs. Oh, wait, you didn't give me what I want? You're a bad God. I'm telling you. Now, people would not admit it, but that's how the way people are. But the fact is, God has already set this whole thing up to bless us. He has poured out the blessings, and he is saying, come now and live in this. Do you have to crucify some things? Yeah. Do you have to die to some idols? Sure. Will you always get your little way? No. Do you sometimes have to take your big dream that even he promised you and crucify it like Abraham did? Yep. Is it fun? Nope. But listen, people want resurrection power. Only dead people can be raised. Only dead people get raised. So at some point, we need to start crucifying our flesh, our big mouth souls, our big flapping emotions. We need to say, listen, soul, here's how it's going to be. You're not going to rule me anymore. Will, you're going to bow the knee to God. Emotions, shut up and sit down. Mind, be renewed according. Believe, choose to believe what God has said. Don't believe what the enemy said. This is the way we're going to live. End of discussion. And it is a deep commitment. It is a life choice. Is it perfect day one? Nope. Because you're going to have to start retraining every bit of it. You have to retrain your mind. You have to retrain your emotional reactions. You have to retrain your soul. You have to retrain. In some cases, you have to repent out loud of believing certain lies because you don't want to give Satan that open door. Some of you have believed. Am I going too long? Okay, some of you have believed because Satan has told you God really isn't on your side. Some of you have believed, well, when it's God's timing, then he'll do it. Let me ask you this. What makes it God's timing? When you get in the right position. And you can put that off as long as you want. You can cry and whine as long as you want. You can cuss at God all you want. But the fact is, he's saying, over here is the blessings. Over here in Satan's kingdoms, here's all the trouble. You have to choose this day. There is no third kingdom. There's two, and only two. You get to pick. And guess what? It's not one choice. Here's what people say. Yes, I want to die for you, Jesus. And then 24 hours goes by, and they think that's done. No, it is a forever choice. There are some things I'll never be able to do. That's right. But it's a choice I made because I'd rather have the presence. I'd rather be able to step into the throne room 24/7. What kind? That's not even a trade. It's rubbish. That's all rubbish. All the stuff I ever thought I wanted, trash, rubbish. Paul said it and it's true. Garbage. Who cares about that? To trade it for his presence? To be ever with you? Listen, it already is, but you don't know it. Because of what? Your soul. Oh, come on. We say, oh, let your presence come. Well, the fact is, he was here before we got here. Come on. And I know because if two or more of you gathered, but I also know he's with me, so his presence is with me at home. But it took me years to understand the presence. Listen, we don't worship to bring the presence. We worship to bring people out of their flesh so they can feel the presence. Come on. We worship to bring people out of that stuff that's out in the hall about their worries and their fretting and their bills and their whatevers. So we worship to get them. That's why, you know, you'll hear me play soft music. You know what I'm doing? Come in out of the junk, leave the junk behind, you know. Leave it all outside, come in and worship God. And they go, oh, the presence, you know. Well, the presence was with them out in the hall, but they were so frazzled and so geared up. Some of you are living at such a tense pace. The presence is with you every bit as much as with me or anybody else, but you don't know it because you're like, pray for me. Well, I'll try, dude, but take a chill pill. Call me Downy. I'm trying to push a blessing in them. They're like, you know, I'm like trying to stuff it in. You can't, you know. Hallelujah. God's trying to help us understand the kingdom. But I will tell you this, once you get this, you will never be the same. You'll never live the same. You won't think the same. And life, in many ways, gets easier and easier and easier because now you understand. See, if we're trying to live life through the wrong parameters, it's not fun. It's like if you were to get in your car and think that it was supposed to go sideways. Would that work? You're like, this stupid car doesn't work. Oh, maybe I'm doing it wrong. Come on. There's a system that God laid out in His Word. He's trying to help us. If you go with the flow, life is easier. If you're, you know, continually kicking against the pricks, right? Remember that? Come on, I know you do. If we're continually kicking against God's system and expecting Him to do it our way, it's never going to work. We're going to be crabby, we're going to be defeated, and we're going to be sad. Come on. I know, I deal with a lot of people, and I know that I deal with people who are wounded and hurt and angry, you know, have rage, hallelujah, all of which I used to have. But what God's trying to do is say, listen, I have a heavenly way. It's a better way. It's really not as hard as you think, but you have to leave this way behind. And you have to step into what I have already done. And I'm going to teach you how. I'm going to mentor you. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He's your mentor, right? I'm going to mentor you, but you have to learn how to come to me with your questions. And I'm just going to say this. This isn't for everybody, but I'm just going to say, I'm looking at the ceiling right now. Stop trying to control everything and stop trying to control God and stop trying to make it happen because it will never work that way. That's called kicking against the bricks. Some of you are beating your head on a wall. You're trying to make it happen. Oh, if I do this, if I work this formula, no. We have to believe what He has said, receive what He has already done, and we have to give up the controls. Okay? So that means, what that means is you may not get to, you know, in my case, I would have moved south a long, long time ago. In fact, I would have never stayed in Illinois. I mean, from a little kid, I used to think, literally, the minute I grew up, I'm getting out of here. Little kid, all my life, I'm getting out of here. Never did get out of here. When Edgar passed away, I was like, how about now, Lord? Edgar passed away. Can we move now? He says, I want you in this town, in this house. Give me 3 more years. Hallelujah. Okay. You know what? You know what I said to him? You know what, Lord? Thank you for this house. If you keep me here till the day I die, that's fine with me. Hallelujah. Because you know what? I'd rather have Him. He is my exceeding great reward. And there's nothing better. Once you get Him, who cares about all that others? Once you get Him and you really get Him, once you get relationship in Him, what do you have? Everything. Everything. You have somebody to fight your battle, somebody to defend you, somebody to vindicate you. You have somebody that's all-powerful, knows everything, smarter than any scientist. Oh, wait, you lost your eyeball? Here, let me recreate it. Hello, your best friend is God. So it's huge to get this. It's huge to understand that I believe the church has tried to do Christianity probably the best we knew. But we were trying to do Christianity for God in the natural. It doesn't work that way. He never intended Christianity to be us be good enough, do good enough, get this right. We never do. We never get it right, do we really? We said, oh, it says we're supposed to love people. So, okay, I'm gonna bake brownies. I'm going to do the stuff. And he's like, you know what? That's good. That's a good work. Hallelujah. But that's not the real love of God. The real love of God is you sit in your chair and you go, God, I don't really like people. But you say to love them, so, Lord, would you flow your love through me for people? And you keep praying it, and pretty soon one day you actually love people. It's a mystery. It's a great mystery. To those of us that are hermits, like, well, oh, I really love people. That's weird. That's so weird. They're mean. You see, it's all done. That's what grace really is. We know we don't have the ability. You don't have the ability to be a good Christian. You don't. You have the ability to pretend that you're a good Christian. Come on. And that's what the church did. Act good enough, be good enough, measure everything by this external thing. But what if it's really that Christ is supposed to live through you, doing his works through you, because we freely acknowledge we can't do it. That's grace. Amen. His grace is his ability to do through you what you could never do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we give you all the glory, praise, and honor. Thank you for your children. You have called them holy. You have called them set apart. They are set apart and sanctified unto you. I'm asking you, Father, if they didn't understand what I was talking about, I know, Lord, I know it wasn't me, I know it was you. I ask you to help them ask you the questions of their heart, honestly and openly. And I ask you to begin to unwrap, unveil, and show the truth in a way that each person can grasp it and live on a higher plane, live in you, in him we live and move and have our being. I ask you to do that for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.